It's 7 minutes past seven, and Shane McElhattan is here now with this morning's papers.
The continued captivity in Haiti of Irish aid worker Gina Herity is covered across all the papers this morning. The Irish Daily Mail says the Haitian government has assured Taoiseach Simon Harris of its support in helping to rescue Ms. Herity. Drawing on his own experience in the field, Declan Power in the Irish Independent writes that seeking out local interlocutors as go-betweens will be more important than any efforts by the nation state. He points out that that nation state is so dysfunctional that two significant UN peacekeeping missions in a row ended with the country still in chaos. The Irish Sun's lead headline describes the overall leader of the kidnapped gang leader as a brutal warlord, former police officer Jimmy Cherizier. In a two-page profile, the Sun gives him his lurid nickname and describes him as the leader of the Vive Ensemble gang. The paper says he's considered the most powerful warlord in Haiti. He staged the biggest jailbreak in Haitian history and recently tried to besiege the country's main airport. There's much speculation in the papers about the implications of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's threat to escalate the Gaza catastrophe by occupying the entire territory. In a two-page spread under the headline Annihilation, Occupation, the Irish Daily Star says the plan would mean building army bases with regular patrols to try to stop Hamas rising again. It quotes the Palestinian Authority Ministry of Foreign Affairs asking other countries to intervene urgently to stop the move. The Irish Examiner says the occupation plan is in fact on hold because of doubts over whether the plan is even feasible. The same paper is the only title to cover US President Donald Trump's threat yesterday to send tariff rates on the pharmaceutical sector up to 250% within 18 months. The paper says the US President's mercurial approach to imposing tariffs on a range of countries has left leaders around the world struggling to keep pace. Retirees and those anticipating retirement will want to pay attention to today's Independent and Mail. The Independent's lead story is that the Revenue Commissioners have written to 68,000 pensioners to warn them of incorrect tax payments. The report says many people owe money because they have an occupational pension in addition to their state pension. No tax is deducted from a state pension, but if a person has an occupational pension as well, then they owe tax on the state payment. The Mail leads with a warning by the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council that the government's savings funds will not be enough to deal with an ageing population, and the retirement age will have to be raised to relieve some of the pressure. Finally, today is the 80th anniversary of the dropping of the atomic bomb on Hiroshima, and it's marked in several of the papers. David McNeil in The Times writes that in this year of the anniversary, Japan is now addressing a once unthinkable question. Should Japan possess the bomb? One reason for the significance of today's anniversary is there may not be many more while survivors are still alive to tell their stories. The Examiner says there are about 100,000 survivors still alive, and both it and The Times feature testimony from several of them. David McNeil asked one survivor, Terumi Tanaka, co-chair of the Japan Confederation of A and H Bomb Sufferers Organization, about statements by some Japanese politicians that the country should enter the nuclear arms race. He replied, "Until recently, it was unthinkable for Japanese politicians to say such things at all. As representatives of a country that was a victim of these weapons, for a politician to make such a statement, it's not just deeply regrettable, it is unacceptable."
Shane, thank you. It's 10 past seven. Well, from wars 80 years ago to wars today, catastrophic consequences. That's the UN view of a full reoccupation of Gaza. We'll be talking about that after the break.